in dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I venture to draw your prayerful attention to Revelation chapter 21. We read verses 5, 6, and 7. Revelation chapter 21, reading verses 5, 6, and 7. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, that these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst at the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. When the beloved disciple, the Apostle John, was for the truth's sake banished to the isle that is called Patmos, one would have thought that the enemy of souls, Antichrist, had gained a tremendous victory in that this dear man who leaned on the bosom of Christ, this dear man that was deeply loved by the dear Lord and Savior, this dear man that witnessed the death of Christ and the flowing of the blood and water from the riven side of Christ, that his ministry should be stopped, but be silenced, because how could that gospel go forth from the isle that is called Patmos? My friend, it was for the furtherance of the gospel, because of the word we have in verse 5, write. There was a ministry, there was a work, there was a ministry that was going to stand to the end of time. And this will take me back for a moment in meditation to the beginning of this book of the Revelation, when we read of how that the dear man in his banishment was found in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he turned and looked, and he saw one standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And this was a revealed Christ, and a Christ in his glory. Dear John would remember his dear Lord in his sufferings, in the glory of his resurrection and ascension, but now in the full blaze of his eternal glory. This was Jesus Christ revealed to the apostle. He says, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me and said, Fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive for evermore and have the keys of hell and of death. I've often said to thy dear fearers that there's something very precious to my soul in those words, and it's this. He laid his right hand on me. Look at that right hand, the power of it, who crushed worlds to pieces. Here was the tender love and compassion of his Lord to his dear servant, and revealing himself to him, and fear not, for I am he that liveth and was dead. Yes, John, you remember that. And I live forevermore. And behold, I have the keys of hell and of death. Now, right. This is the commission. The things which are, the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things that shall be hereafter. Briefly, the things that thou hast seen, that is, has been revealed to him as the book of the Revelation, the things which are, the state of those seven churches, and those things yet to be, that the full blaze and glory and majesty and beauty of the dear Lord and Savior and Jesus Christ, the wonder and the provision of heaven itself, he was to write. And this ministry would be kept, it would be preserved to the end of time, and has been brought, as it were, preached to countless numbers, still is and will be, to the end of time. So, my friend, here we have this word, write. And just one more word on this word. We should not forget to pray for godly editors and those that are raised up to write in a spiritual way. Pray for the blessing of God to rest upon them as they pen these glorious truths. So write, for these words are true and faithful. The speaker was he that was upon the throne. He said, behold, look, I make all things new. When we think of creation, the wonder of it, the beauty of it, we cannot comprehend of it in its full beauty before sin entered, but even marred by sin, we look at the wonder of God's creation and see God in it. But now we read in this part of the Word of God, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He's gone to prepare a place for us that we might be with him forever and ever. And he that sat upon the throne, and my friend, he is there on a throne of grace, that place of mercy, that dear Redeemer, that dear Savior who died for sinners and intercedes for sinners. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed exactly as I am. And since I can hardly therefore bear what in myself I see, how vile and black must I appear, most holy God, to thee. But since my Savior stands between in garments dyed in blood, tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Don't you love that gospel? Don't you love those blessings? And ask some of you, maybe, I wish it's mine, I long for it, that instead of, that substitution, behold a scene of matchless grace to Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's highest glory, sunk in shame, that rebel's mind, adore his name. And so, when a vile wretch like I go to the throne of grace, there's my Jesus there, and there a lamb as it had been slain, there with the evidence of the finished work, there's my acceptance, there I see my sin forgiven, there I see my acceptance in the Beloved. Oh, my friend, the wonder of it, the beauty of it. So here he says, write that these words are true and faithful. The wicked men on the face of the earth, and so-called wicked men that seek to speak of their deeper knowledge of the translations of the Word of God. And yet, my friend, we have to leave this. We cannot follow them. We desire this pure Word of God as we have it before us. And I say, we need to know this dear Saviour as that finished work on the cross, that blood flowing and that water shed for my sin. These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. What a word is this? And my friend, this is God speaking. It is done. And this word also leads me to a very solemn meditation from time to time. I know I have named it, but we read in the book Epistle of James, and I turn to it that I might quote it correctly in your hearing, a very solemn and a very searching word when this dear servant of Jesus Christ writes in this way, and he says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let me quote it exactly. James chapter 1, and it's in verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when, those three words, it is finished. Sin is finished. Sin unpardoned. Sin in its sinful state, untouched, no blood. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Literal death, and death, and that second death, that state has been explained, and dying and yet not to die. The awfulness of it, that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then again, I do just keep a reference. My mind cannot remember the references, and my mind gets a little bit lost at times, so you will bear with me, but I will just find this reference in this self-same chapter, in self-same book, Revelation chapter 16, and verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. Now I have make no pretense to explain that vial of the seventh angel. But what it does tell me speaks of the judgment of God, speaks of the purpose of God in his judgment upon the ungodly. And it will be poured forth. It will be done. And it is done. Look at it, poor sinner. How do you stand? You will die. Will you die with that word, with your sin, sin unpardoned, exposed to the wrath of God? Or will it be under the precious blood of Christ? Oh, so here we have these words, it is done. Again, thinking of creation, he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. That wonderful creation, even wonderful though, O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in, all creation groans of thee, pregnant cause of misery. And yet the wonder of it, but that's to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. My friend, hang on to it, rest upon it, lean upon it, look to it, trust in it, pray for understanding of it as you may be enabled. Then this will lead us now to Calvary's cross. This will lead us to the dear Saviour of sinners. This will lead us to the precious Christ, will it not? That precious Jesus. When we hear those words uttered from the cross at Calvary, it is finished. The work is done. It's finished. And my friend, the evidence of it was that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The earth did quake. The rocks were rent. My friend, oh, the power, the glory, the wonder of these words. The devil is defeated, and all this finished work, all these sufferings, all this life of the dear Saviour laying down His glory, laying aside His glory. Why now, my friend, we see it, the triumph of it, the victory of it, the reality of it. It is finished. The work is done. What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And my friend, they're before the throne. What are they doing there? Are they sinners? They were sinners. They were dreadful sinners. But no, they're washed in the blood, and there's no accusation. The devil cannot charge them. The law cannot touch them. Even God's majesty and holiness is satisfied, because the payment is made, and that payment is blood, sin atoning blood of the dear Lamb of God. Oh, the wonder of our dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He says, it is done. He says, it is done. And my friend, further, which will apply to all the promises of God, all the types and shadows of the Lord Jesus, when He said it is finished, every Levitical sacrifice, all the details were revealed, and they were now finished, but it's done. We could spend profitable time in examining them, but we forbear for doing that at the moment. But, my friend, we see, and then again I see another word here, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It is done. And every believer, every born-again sinner, every trophy of God's grace, every lamb in that fold and sheep too, every precious gem, jewel, when He gathers His jewels, I say, it is done. It's a finished work. It's complete. And so, this people, saturated in sin, these people captive of Satan, these people in the dark, born again, called by grace, and cleansed with the blood, my dear friend, we view them in Christ Jesus, the resented faultless before the throne with exceeding joy. So the word of heaven comes, and He says, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. You will know the meaning here. It's the Greek language, I think I got that right, the first letter and the second letter. Don't know whether I've got the... I know it's the first letter and second letter of the language. I have to leave that. That's where my mind fails me. Bear with me. But the first letter and the second and the last letter. But as I've tried to say, in my poor way, friend, and it just comes as a simple illustration, we have, if I may say, and I don't want to bring lower things down, bring the spiritual down low, but just think, you get a book sometimes called A to Z, That means it's not just everything beginning with A and everything beginning with Z, that's there, but everything between A to Z, the whole alphabet, as far as we can speak of it in human power, it's all there. Now, here we see all that the Lord is, all that the Lord has said, it's there. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is complete, the riches of His grace, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, the wonder of it. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the King of glory. He is the chief shepherd of the sheep. He is the head of the church. He is the all in all. Oh, my friend, and you say, yes, my case is hopeless. I'm so sinful, I'm so vile. Yes, I am, and so are you. But, oh, my friend, here's the way. Here's the one that in Him is such a fullness, as you've seen sing again this afternoon, that in Him all fullness dwells. In that blood is the cleansing power. In that robe of righteousness, justified freely by His grace, presented faultless before the throne with exceeding joy. So, my friend, it is, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And so, my friends, the all in all, and there's nothing lacking. Oh, friend, He that came from this earth, that laid down His life, in Him is all fullness, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily, to satisfy the desires, the need, and the longings of the dear, the people of God. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Yes, and look at it, when you think of it, right through the book. Yes, go to eternity past, view the covenant ordered in all things, and sure, see there that great provision, see the creation, see the perfection of it, see the beauty of it, see man and woman without sin, until, yes, the evil one was there, and soon they fall, and soon all mankind fall in their head, Adam as their head. But, my friend, there's the promise of one to come, and He has come, namely the Messiah, the eternal Son of God, laying aside His glory and taking upon Him that sinless flesh, that body prepared for Him, that He should live on this earth, He should walk about on this earth, that He should suffer as we suffer in the ways of weariness, hunger, thirst, loneliness, temptation, but sinless, spotless, holy and pure. And here is the perfect sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice of old, if it was blemished, it was not acceptable. But here, in Christ, the sacrifice is pure, is holy. Behold, the Lamb of God. Oh, we do behold Him, the dear Saviour, the beginning and the end. And He says, I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. What a word is this? First, a thirst. All mankind is a thirst. What for? We shudder to think of man untouched by grace. We think, and I don't like to even mention it, perhaps I shouldn't, but the value set on one man in the football world is awful, terrible, absolutely awful. And so we have here that thirst for earthly glory, and it may be for a season, but when all is done, They stand before that great white throne in their sin. They hear that dreadful word, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you." Oh, unutterably solemn. But there's a people on this earth that are different. They've got a different thirst. Yes, but they've also got sin. Also, they thirst sometimes for things they shouldn't desire. But, my friend, their main thirst is to know my Jesus crucified, to know him as my Savior, my Redeemer, my Jesus, and my Lord. O you who long to know and feel your interest in his blood, the thing is proved beyond a doubt, because you thirst for God. That thirst for God speaks of spiritual life. That spiritual life speaks of that new creature. That new creature speaks of the finished work of Christ. That new creature and the finished work of Christ speaks of salvation. Tells us that the price, redemption, the ransom price, is paid. So, my friend, the longing of the soul, not only to thirst, and mainly, as I say, to know that blood is shed for you, that your sins are washed away, but also this, you thirst for more grace, to know more of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to have more in your own soul. You thirst for the love of Christ to be shed abroad in your soul, and to know more and more of the length, the breadth, the depth, and height of the love of Christ. Oh, my dear friends, this is love, incomprehensible, amazing. On such love my soul still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free, say whilst lost in holy wonder, why? Why? Oh God, such love to me. Hallelujah, grace shall reign eternally, a thirst. And I love that those words, well, all words of God is true. And blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Plead it before the throne, beloved. Pray for it. Then again, coming down, perhaps in case we have gone a bit too far ahead, there's another word that I'm very fond of in the prophecy of Isaiah, where we read, and I quote part of it, "When the poor and needy seek water." Coming in? That's your name? I believe some of you can say yes. Poor, needy, seeking, thirsty. When this is so, when the God of Israel will hear them, the Lord God will not forsake them. I will. Then their tongue faileth the thirst, it parts dry as it were. And he says, "I will open the rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys." Oh, friend, and look at the wounded side of Christ. Look at the flowing of the water that cleanseth you from all sin. Look at the water of life. Look, my friend, at that river of love. Look at that river, and as recorded in the book of Revelation, a sore river. Oh, friend, what a river. And there Ezekiel spoke of it, that he saw river to swim in, and he said he was in it first to the ankle, then to the knee, and then to the loins, and then a river to swim in. Oh, the immensity of it. And this is the thirst, and this is the longing of the soul. And so we read in heaven, they shall thirst no more. Oh, what wonderful of it. They shall drink from these streams of love, the mercy, grace, pardon, peace, all that your soul longs for. Oh, to a never-ending eternity I will give. Look at the free gift. It costs nothing. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and buy. Him that hath no money, and so forth. I've told you before that in eastern lands there was water sellers. They would carry water and sell to the thirsty. that sometimes a wealthy person will go to the water carrier and say, look, I'm going to pay for all the water you can possibly carry. And then you're to go up to that street there where all the beggars are, where all these poor things are, the destitute are, and cry, ho, that is the word, come. It's for you. And my friend, this is the gospel. It's free, it's full, it flows to poor, guilty, lost, and ruined sinners. Indeed it is. I will give unto him the thirst of, and I like this word, the fountain of water of life. You see, bubbling, you see, full of life. It's not a stagnant, not a cistern. It's full of spiritual life, refreshing and blessing and all that your poor soul can need. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. What overcomes you? What overcomes me? Well, my own sin. Satan does. The world does. The temptations of the evil one. Error sometimes is plausible, may be kept from it. And then to be saved from lukewarmness, I mentioned that this afternoon, lukewarmness, all these things to overcome. How can I overcome? You can't, not of yourself, but you can by the grace of God. Plead it, seek it, pray for it. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him. The word doesn't stop there, though. But Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. A simple rendering historical there is the tribe of Gad had that portion with others on the other side of Jordan. So they were neighboring to, say, perhaps Moab or somewhere like that. And consequently, there was infiltration of evil, and they fell, and they were at sin. But here, yes, they may fall, but he'll overcome. Who will overcome? A born-again sinner. And that sinner is the possession of spiritual life. That spiritual life that can never be put to death by Satan's awful power or sin. It will live forever. And my friend, precious faith is that which cannot be destroyed. It can be brought almost to nothing, but it's there, and it'll be revived, and it will live. And I thought, and I do one of my little rambles here, and that is this, my dear, Martha went to Jesus about Lazarus was dead, and she said, I believe even now. Oh, there were even now. Things are like as bad as they are. He's in the grave. He's dead. Even now. That's what faith does. It's not presumption. And when God does bless a sinner in these ways, it won't be in presumption. They'll feel to be, well, oh, it's nothing indeed. Amazed that God should hear their cry and have mercy upon them. So here we have to him that overcometh. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye shall have tribute, that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace. My friend, I don't know if I quoted that quite right. Let me get it right. I don't want to quote scripture wrongly. There's the closing words of the dear Lord in the upper room before he prayed to his Father in heaven. And we find, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I, Jesus says, I've overcome the world. And you in Christ, by the eternal purpose of God, will finally overcome. At times we are overcome. Ask David. Yes, he said, look at my awful sin. Ask Peter. Look at my denials. And look at Manasseh. Look at my awful life. Look at Onesimus, the runaway slave. And so we could go on. Look at those respectable sinners. Yes, all with sin. But my friend, it is here is the overcoming grace. Here we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's a wonderful word. I can't think of anything to be higher, greater, or more wonderful. To be a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. In a way, it leads us to a complete, utter victory over all evil, sin, and everything that comes against a poor sinner and would bar that way for that sinner to enter into heaven itself. Him that overcometh. And there's a word in the Epistle of John that comes partly to my mind about this overcoming. And speaking again of precious faith, let's turn to it that I might rename it rightly. And my friend, hold on to it. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? How? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and so forth. Again, the Apostle John of love says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? My friend, here's the triumph. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And my friend, you think of God's provision for you in providence and grace on earth, but think of heaven. Think of the fullness. Think, yes, go back to this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Look at it. Look at the ocean fullness of the wonderful blessing. Think of the wonders of the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ poured forth, and the poor sinner free from all his infirmities, free from that which would overwhelm him, overcome him, now is ready to receive it, be blessed by it, and encouraged by it. So, my friend, here we come to this victory. Here we come to the triumph. And I notice in the message of the seven churches, even those that there was much fault in them, yet to him that overcometh, yes, there is to him that overcometh, there is not the second death. There's that white stone, which is the judge in those days, who's the jury, would, if the criminal was before him, or professed to be a criminal, if he was guilty, he put a black stone. If he was free, put a white stone. The white stone for the believer, my dear friend. And so we read of those being clothed in white raiment, those that will sit with him in glory. Oh, thou shalt see my glory soon, when the work of grace is done. Partner of my throne shalt be, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me. Now on his head are many crowns. And my friend, the song of glory will be unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Crown him Lord of all. And if that is so, and it is so, may it be with us to crown him on this earth. When the song is, worthy is the Lamb, he's worthy of all that we can do by the grace of God of our life. My friend, of that complete surrender to him who was crucified on Calvary's cross for us, who gives us heaven, who brings us to heaven. Father, I will that these also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. I must close, friend. May the Lord bless his own precious word. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 1053 to the tune, line 1, 894. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, comfort every sinking heart. After the benediction, we will sing the last verse of hymn 220. Hymn